Welcome to Startup Health Now, the weekly webcast that celebrates the healthcare transformers and changemakers reimagining healthcare. My name is Unity Stokes, and I'm here today at the Health 2.0 conference in Santa Clara, and we're have a conversation with the CEO of Health 2.0, Indu Sabaya. Stick around, it's going to be a great show.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. Well, I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
All right, so we are here with Indu at Health 2.0. Congratulations, your ninth year. So incredible.
It is exciting. We can't believe it.
Yeah. So what has stood out to you this year? I know we're only halfway into Health 2.0 so far, but there's already been amazing people here. Chelsea Clinton, the Surgeon General's here. What's exciting you this year, and what are some of the highlights so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on two of them right there. What is amazing to me is how the conversation this year at the conference has shifted away from specific point innovations to really what I think is becoming a change in the way we think about health and healthcare in this country and the integration of this. And so let me give you a few examples. We showed a couple of care coordination tools on that first panel that Matthew moderated on the patient experience.
Right.
And I was amazed. A year ago, they would have been showing really cool, you know, software to look at data at patients in hospitals or something around how we connect care providers and care teams. What was unique this time was both of those integrated to the EMR seamlessly and without a lot of fuss. And I think that on the one hand, you might think, well, you know, isn't that just a technical thing? It really isn't, because I think that's been such a roadblock for this sector. How did they actually integrate with those legacy systems that have kind of been the enemy all of these years? And I began to see that this year more than ever. So integrations with the Cerners and the Allscripts and
right.
Even now the Epics, you know, maybe we're just at the beginning.
So are we sort of at the end of the beginning, if you will? This first 9 years, yeah. Seems like a lot has happened, but maybe a new phase is beginning?
There might be, because Jeff Arnold, right, talked about the direction his company is going in. This, you know, began as a content company. This was about, you know, question and answers to consumers, and kind of he came out of WebMD, so you know, maybe I was thinking it was going to be more of that model, but he's doing work with 3,000 hospitals,
right,
with the Department of Defense, with the American Hospital Association. So I think that's telling the story of a new chapter. I do think that you're right about that you know, this started off as sort of like a very progressive fringe movement, and now the question that I asked in my talk was, is this going to be an impetus for the evolution of our existing systems, or will it continue and grow as its own industry? I think the audience voted 50-50 on both of those questions as a prediction, so we'll see.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, before coming to Health 2.0 this time around, I think I would have voted for it being its own industry, generating its own economy, its own meaning, really kind of becoming the way Google sort of disrupted everything. It's not just sort of a means to search, it became its own world. Amazon is not just a means to buy books, it became its own sort of universe. But after today, just being here for the first day yesterday, my eyes were opened a little bit to the pace of adoption by the big players and how they seem to be seeing these companies not just as nice-to-haves, but as must-haves in their arsenal as they compete. And it's going to be where the money goes, you know, for better or for worse. We can say all we want about wanting to do the right thing, but from an economy standpoint, I think policy has set this up so that today large systems have to incorporate these technologies. They have to play well with them, or they're not going to be able to do what they're supposed to do in order to stay relevant. So I think that has made for this story of incorporation feel a lot more real to me now.
So what would your advice be to industry, and let's break that down to maybe the established healthcare industry players, and then also the emerging companies, the startups, the ecosystem that's coming and inventing new things. What would your advice be to them and things that they should be paying attention to?
Sure. I think now more than ever, the number of potential partners a young company has, even as early as, you know, out the gate, is more than ever. And I would advise people to not just look at the usual suspects in terms of who your customers are going to be. So let me give an example. You know, we showed a wearable sock with sensors in it last year that you might think, well, that's, you know, probably going to go the way of apparel. But they're now partnering with physical rehab and looking at medical devices and how to put these things into orthotics and actually have it be reimbursed by Medicare. And on the flip side, there are things that started out in the sort of medical world that now might be distributed by a Walgreens and a CVS down the block, et cetera. So I would say to a startup today, think of almost any, you know, large distribution vehicle as a potential partner for what you do.
So consumer companies as well as healthcare companies.
Exactly. And though that line is blurring, later today I'm going to be talking with Comcast. You know, telephony, television, cable, they're working with Kaiser. And they're open to this new ecosystem now. So
and I saw Under Armour's here as well.
Of course. Under Armour bought at my MyFitnessPal. They were both on stage last year.
They bought one of our companies too, Gritness.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Exactly. And the future of apparel is all about kind of health now. So I would say health is everywhere. Health is relevant to everybody's business. Yeah. And to me, that's a really exciting message for an entrepreneur today. And people kind of want to work with you. And I think the second message for entrepreneurs is, as ever, we've been saying global, but now, as to your point about who's in the room today, huge contingents from Europe, from Asia, this is going to have relevance in so many parts of the world, and that you don't just have to think, well, if I'm going to go to Asia, I need to be working, you know, on a developing country-type technology. There are stakeholders around the world now that want to adopt across the spectrum. So that would be my advice.
One of the things I love about you guys bringing everyone together from around the world is this opportunity for cross-pollination. And we at Startup Health, we see this as being very, very important because we're seeing, for example, the business models around consumer health being more advanced in India. Mm-hmm. Great technologies coming out of Israel that needs more of a market mixed with things that are happening throughout Europe, for example. And you bring them all together, and it's very amazing to see what starts to emerge 12, 18 months later.
Right. And we've known you guys since the very first Health 2.0 conference. And this is absolutely a story of a journey, you know. And I think the beauty of being in the space together, all of us, is you get to see, you know, the measure of success is not just 1 year, you know, what happened this year or that quarter. It's really about, you know, where have we come over the last, you know, 5 years. And you see people move through entirely new phases, you know, at different companies, in different, starting new companies. And that's the beauty of it. And I think to the cross-pollination point, absolutely, it is that sort of conversation you have in the hallway. In some ways, that's more important than you know, the person you think you're supposed to meet when you're here. And so we love that aspect of it, too.
So what surprised you most over the 9 years of building this ecosystem?
Right. Well, one, I would say that the AMA is here, which is, you know, has had a reputation for being, you know, a pretty, you know, conservative organization in a certain way. And upholding the principles of medicine, medical education, et cetera, to have them be at Health 2.0, to have them run a developer competition and really open up to the space, I think that's a big surprise. You know, I come from the former medical world and was sort of fleeing it at the time because I thought of it as a little bit restrictive, to be honest. And so it's wonderful to see kind of the AMA here. I think similarly, you know, we mentioned this earlier, but the sort of non-traditional health players being at the table, the Comcasts of the world, the Under Armours, the retailers, that isn't so much of a surprise, but I think that
that sort of presence is going to open up so many new channels for this industry. So that's wonderful to see. And I have to say, this also wasn't a surprise, but it was such a pleasure to hear the Surgeon General today really talk about prevention. And everybody in the room and you guys and we've been saying this for so long. When are we going to move to this culture of prevention? When is technology going to help us avoid the downstream, you know, disasters? And how do we live well? And I thought hearing that kind of coming from a place where it can really have huge impact was wonderful. And I think Chelsea spoke to some of those same types of principles. And so I'm really encouraged to see how there's such a connection between, I think, what the grassroots has been trying to do all these years, and now really the
it's beyond grassroots at this point.
It's beyond grassroots, and there's a familiarity and a common language.
Right.
So you might say, well, then does it mean that, you know, we're not being edgy enough? Are we just now sort of all folded into like the machine?
So what are your predictions then? Where does this go?
That's right. Well, I personally, because I don't do this because I'm trying to run, you know, a corporate conference. I mean, it's not going to be fun for me if we're all just singing the mantras of the establishment. That's not why Health 2.0 got started. So I'm going to look for those areas that are still cutting edge, right? I'm going to look for the future of the life sciences coming together with biological science and what that means for IT.
It seems like that's merging as well with digital health, and it's all coming together.
Exactly. I think we're just at the earliest stages of where, you know, feels like genomics and proteomics and all of those very, very heavy-duty science subjects need to come into contact with this world. That's a new frontier. I think this world of AI, robotics, you know, algorithmic intelligence, that's a really wonderful and exciting frontier. So I think we're going to see pushing the limits, you know, even of where we are today and continuing to evolve. Things like 3D printing and drone technology, even if it's really a little far out still, you know, we need something that's a little visionary to keep us going.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to become hymns.
Right. Well, no, you guys are always on the cutting edge. So a few fun questions just to wrap up here. So do you have any favorite books that you find yourself recommending often, either to people in the industry or entrepreneurs or healthcare innovators?
It
doesn't have to be a healthcare book or a startup book.
Wow, that's a really, really good question. You know,
it could be a blog. It could be podcast.
The Startup Health Podcast, I hear. And that guy, Unity, is such a great, he's the new Charlie Rose.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting. I've been reading a lot of memoir lately. And I find that, you know, I don't tend to read a lot of sort of healthcare industry books, partly because I think I work so much in it. Sometimes it's nice to sort of go outside of that. But I think what's really interesting in thinking about people's life stories, I just read the Maggie Nelson memoir about, you know, motherhood, about how society is changing. You know, I've read the Lena Dunham memoir. Mm-hmm. And I think about how you tell your life story in whatever field you are, actually has an impact on your life. And that's something that I find fascinating. So just think about that. How we learn to tell the story about our lives affects our lives.
Do you ever think about how you would tell your future story?
Right. Well, that's part of it, right? Because what is the next chapter?
Right.
You know, what is my journey? And I think what you guys do in some ways in the community you're building and what we're doing is kind of telling the story of this industry. And people need that as much as they need, you know, the mechanical support.
Right.
And I think that's something I've been thinking a lot about. And in reading sort of the life stories of individuals, I'm thinking about how that feeds into, you know, the stories of movements.
I love that.
Yeah.
And different question, but what do you do personally to stay healthy and well?
Right. Well, that's a good question. I'm a mom and you're now a dad, and it's a challenge with being busy and active. But I just started wearing this.
Okay.
So this is the Fitbit Charge HR. And this is after doing Health 2.0 for years. I kind of never was into a wearable, but I thought I would try it. And I really like looking at the heart rate side of it. And I just have been meditating for over a year and a half now.
Do you use an app for that?
I do. I use Headspace. Yeah, full-on devotee of Andy Puddicombe.
His voice is so soothing.
I know. He is. He's amazing. I'm a fan. And I think meditation being part of my life, yoga has always been a part of my life. But now being able to sort of monitor the impact of the mind-body interaction, my stress levels, you know, that has been really, really powerful to me. So I think I wasn't so much like a steps tracker. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit like that wasn't speaking to me. But the moment we began to offer people like me a window into that mind-body connection, it's like that's what hooked me. And I think I'm looking forward to more technologies that kind of speak to that part of health. Because to me, I see these things as so connected.
Wonderful. Well, where can people learn more about you, learn more about Health2O?
Right. Well,
get involved.
You know, follow Health 2.0 at Health2Con. That's our Twitter handle. I don't tweet as often as I should. But
you have a cool Twitter handle.
At Blue Topaz. I didn't really think that one through. I think it was one of those whimsical ideas in, 2006, and then it stuck. But and I think just Google Health 2.0, we're probably coming
and
to a city
near
you.
And you're all over the world
now. That's right, yeah. And if there's anything that you think you're not seeing out there, and I know, people interact with you and your network, that's how we learn. Yeah. People come to us with ideas. People come to us with unmet needs. What aren't we paying attention to? What needs attention? Use Health 2.0 as a platform, because that's what we're there for.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations again. It's wonderful to see how this has grown and how much it's done for the whole ecosystem. So thank you.
Thank you so much, and also for the work you and Steve do.
Wonderful. Thank you.